This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on this 11th day of June 2010. And today I'm honored to be joined on the line once again by Gerald Celente, the world's leading trends forecaster and the man behind the Trends Journal at TrendsResearch.com. For those who have been living under a rock for the past few decades, Gerald Celente has correctly forecast everything from the 1997 Asian financial crisis to the collapse of the Soviet Union, from the 2000 dot-com bust to the recession of 07, the panic of 08, and many, 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 many other forecasts that have come to pass with stunning accuracy. Mr. Celente, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure being on with you, James.
All right. Well, today I wanted to hit on a subject that's been gaining a lot of press lately, and that's the possibility of war with Iran. And this is something that's been on the burner for years now, but the war rhetoric seems to be intensifying, with Bilderberg 2010 apparently greenlighting an airstrike on Iran, and now we see a lot of the pieces of that puzzle falling into place with the UN Security Council voting in yet more sanctions on Tehran this week, and even the discovery of Osama bin Laden alive and well, and evidently not dead of kidney failure from his years on dialysis in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan. But no, we're now being told he's actually being hosted by, guess who, the Iranian government, yes. So it certainly seems the possibility for war is there, and the entire region remains a powder keg in search of a match. Gerald Celente, what do you see playing out in this region in the near term?
Well, it's playing out in front of our eyes. We saw what happened with the Israeli attack on the flotilla of supplies going into Gaza, and how that was so distorted by the Israeli press and the U.S. media, and how it's being condemned worldwide. And we also have very other interlocking factors that don't seem to be playing into it, but will play a bit great part in it. And that is the great distraction. We have this massive oil spill in the United States going on, another cover-up, whether they cover up the economy, cover up atrocities, or cover up the damage of the oil spill. It's one cover-up after another. So there's going to become a point when they have to divert the people's attention away from the catastrophes going on at home, be they environmental or economic. And Iran is the perfect straw man for that. I don't know why we hate Iran so much. I know about the hostage crisis in 1978-79, but this is a lot, you know, this is going on a bit too long. What do they want to do, restore the Shah? Or is it that BP needs to regain the oil fields that they overthrew the democratically elected government of Iran in 1953 for that oil? And, of course, along with Standard Oil and the United States CIA in coercion with the British spy agency. So what is this all about? It's all about oil. Do you think we'd be in Iraq if their major export was broccoli? So we're looking at Iran as the perfect foil for the failures of the United States and continued aggression by Israel. And I don't want to get any Gerald Celente's anti-Semite baloney. I could talk about my country. I could talk about anybody's. If you don't want to listen to what I say, fine. You don't have to believe me. I don't have to believe anybody. We only look at the facts. And the facts are these, James. Israel continues to break international law, whether it's stealing Palestinian land or committing acts of high treason on the high seas. So let's call it what it is. And the United States keeps taking that role in it, and the United States people, by proxy, are supporting these atrocities. So what we're looking at is a continuation of war, and they're going to use a false flag to make it happen. As you point out, now they're telling us Osama bin Laden is hiding in Iran. They're losers. I mean, what do? We spent almost $1 trillion looking for this guy already, waging two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. 8 years later, and they still can't find him. They're going to remember George Bush was going to bring him back dead or alive. And by the way, these guys that call themselves commanders in chief that have never worn a uniform or fought in one, you know, they're not commanders in chief. They're commanders of chumps. And the chumps are the people that support these atrocities. So this is going to be a false flag attack as we see it, that's going to divert the people's attention from the economy that's continuing to collapse, that they keep covering up with digital money not worth the paper it's not printed on, an environmental catastrophe that's going to continue to destroy not only the environment around the Gulf of Mexico, but the people's lives as well.
Well, don't hold back. Tell us what you really feel, Gerald. No.
Well, yeah, you know, let's call it what it is. These guys are losers. I just heard Secretary of Defense Gates saying at a NATO conference that we have to show some progress in the next year, or else our publics, that's the language he uses, publics, will lose our support. What, wait until a year? How about this last offensive that they were going to do in Afghanistan that turned out to be a major loser? Did anyone forget that one already? Remember, they were going to take this Taliban stronghold in Marjah, and then they were going to move further off or further in and run another major offensive, and they keep losing. They're losers. The American military hasn't won a major war since World War II. That we have an armistice in Korea. There was never a victory. We have a we lost 58,000 troops and hundreds of billions of dollars in Vietnam. Oh, then there was the great victory of Ronald Reagan in Grenada. Yeah, the great empire of Grenada, about the size of D.C. And, of course, there was George Bush, you know, beating up the street gang of Noriega in Panama. And for all those that say, well, Mr. Salenti, what about the first Gulf War? Yeah, how about the first Battle of Iraq? That's all that was. We're losing. Every day, James, you pick up the paper, 8 killed in Iraq. 20 killed in Afghanistan. Look, in the last week, we've lost over 20 U.S. troops. They're going nowhere, and it's the same old story. More men, more time, and more money. This is perfect empire decline, depleting the treasury of a declining economy at a time when we need it the most to become engaged in foreign entanglements. Eisenhower warned us about becoming about the military industrial complex taking over the country, and so too did the most decorated Marine in history until he died, Smedley Butler, calling war a racket. We have the soldiers of the Fortune 500 fighting these wars. There are more mercenaries from the Halliburtons and other groups. The what they call a military contractors, that's white shoe boy language. There are more of them in Afghanistan than the 94,000 U.S. boots on the ground.
Well, that's a key point right there, because I can't see any way in which an attack on Iran at this point wouldn't be suicide on so many levels from so many different perspectives, not only because Iran actually has an army and actually can fight back, unlike Iraq, but also because it would be a touch-off for a World War III type event with China and Russia starting to get into the game at that point. And I can't imagine how that would in any way, in any shape or any form, play into the hands of people who are genuinely interested in the best interests of America or their allies, certainly, but perhaps it will play into the financiers' interests. Do you think the plan or strategy here would be to win such a conflict or merely to get into such a conflict?
Just to get into such a conflict, as you pointed out, these are the Iranians. They're the Persians. Did anybody forget their history? They fought the Iraqis for 8 years, a war, by the way, instigated by Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. Remember that famous photograph of Donald Rumsfeld, that little twit, another one of these swivel chair generals of sorts, you know, that sends other people to go die while they hide behind barricades and bodyguards, giving Saddam Hussein the golden spurs to spur on that war against Iran that lasted for 8 years. And the Iranians lost nearly 1 million people and didn't give up one inch of territory. So no, it's going to be a losing war. And let's get this image out of the way also about that invincible Israeli defense. You know, they're not. They lost in Lebanon. Let's call it what it was. You know, and the only reason why they won those other wars is because the United States was so involved in them. If Israel goes into Iran, it'll be the end of Israel and the beginning of World War III. And so what we're looking at is suicide. Again, they keep backtracking on their pledges. We heard from General Stanley McChrystal as commander-in-chief or commander-in-chump Obama gave him more men, some more than 30,000, and ramped up the war, and how they were going to wage this great offensive in the Kandahar province. Well, now they're backtracking and say, well, no, it's not going to be an offensive. We're going to win over the hearts of the people through our brilliant programs. You're not going to win over the hearts of anybody, your occupiers. They want to blow your brains out and get you out of there. How about calling this guy General Stanley McChrystal Meth? Because that's what he must be on. They're killing our innocent men, they're killing our soldiers, they're killing innocent people, and they're losing this war. There is no victory in sight. There won't be. Alexander the Great couldn't beat them. Stanley McChrystal Meth isn't going to beat them, led by Obama or Bush. It's a losing game, and they're draining our treasury, James, at a time when we need to rebuild this country. It's an atrocity, and everybody should be out in the streets talking about it and trying to stop it. I stand firmly with Ron Paul on this one.
100% in agreement here. So it will require some sort of staged event, as you point out, to kick this off. Any timeline on what we're looking at here?
It's very difficult to say when the timeline is, because the timeline may also be the timeline when the economy crashes. They will do something to get our mind off this greatest depression that we're moving into. You're looking at the whole world going toward war. It's our top trend of the Trends Journal in the spring edition. The great war, the first great war of the 21st century, is now underway. They're calling them austerity measures in Europe, blaming the people for the banks robbing the world blind, the biggest bank robbery in world history. And the Greeks are a bunch of, you know, it's a kleptocracy, there's no question about it. And there's graft going on everywhere. But the big stealing's coming in from the top. Who are these, you know, sovereign debt defaults? What does that mean? Oh, that means that the banks would lose on their bets, and that can't happen. So here's what we have to do, James. What we have to do is we have to cut back on all the services. We have to cut your pensions. We have to cut your benefits. You have to work longer. Oh, and by the way, if that's not enough, we're going to tax the hell out of you any way we can, because we need money to give to the too big to fails. And that's why you're seeing riots out in the streets. You know my saying, you know, as a guy, you know, born and bred in the Bronx, when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. You're going to see social unrest engulf all of Europe. It's happening already. It's going to sweep into the United States. And it's going to be, and people misinterpret what I say, by the way. When they say that I say these things, they say, oh, Salenti, you know, this is his position. No, no. I only give the diagnosis. And here's another diagnosis that's going to be really hard to swallow for a lot of people. We're seeing Workers of the World 2.0. That's right. You're going to start seeing Workers of the World unite against the greed and corruption that is robbing the people of not only their dignity and respect, but every penny that they have. Look what's going on in China. All of a sudden, we're seeing the workers starting to revolt. I love the name of that company, that Taiwanese company. What do they have, like 800,000 employees that keep committing suicide? Oh, the name of the company is Foxconn. You couldn't make that one up. Maybe Monty Python did. I mean, these are the new sweatshops of the 21st century, and the people aren't going to take it any longer. So as long as they keep robbing us blind to pay off the too big to fails, as long as they make it completely difficult for entrepreneurs to get into business because they keep taxing and regulating them to death, unless that changes, the Great War is underway. All the pieces are coming together.
They certainly are. Gerald Celente, incredible connecting of the dots there, as usual, and so much to get into, but unfortunately we have no time today. So tell people how they can get a copy of the Trends Journal.
Yes, our website is trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. And by the way, James, we know that people are going through difficult times, and we urge them to go to our discount request page. Let us know what your financial situation is, what you can and can't afford, and we'll do our very best to provide the Trends Journal to you, particularly the spring edition, which is all about the Great War that we fear the world will enter by before 2012, unless the people stand up and take action.
Absolutely. Well, Gerald Celente, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, James.